Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to the SSR 2 plenary call number 117 on the 8th of July, 2020 at 1400 UTC. Review team members attending the call include Navid, Denko, Matagoro, Russ, Scott, Ramkrishna, Carrie Ann, Zarko, and Kaveh. Observer Dennis Tan. Apologies from Elaine and Denise. Attending from ICANN Org is Jennifer, Steve, and Brenda, and our technical writer, Heather. Today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. The first thing I would like to do is go through the substream status, because a couple teams had a few small actions, and I'd like to just see where we are on those, and then we'll go through hopefully the readouts from some teams. So the first one, Navid, you took an action to look at the merged recommendation 4 that got moved into recommendation 6 and confirmed that the wording that you had originally had there carried forward. Can you tell me whether that happened?
Okay. Hi, Russ. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So actually, this is kind of an interesting something that was not in my perspective when I started to have a look at that. Actually, there are two things here. One is the report that we put for the public comment in January, right? But then we kept working on the draft itself, and in March I made the change to this recommendation. So actually my changes, and I put some rationale of 1.5 page or 2 pages, which is currently available in the version that we, the latest version of the draft that we have. So I think it is on this link that is available here that I shared on the chat. So there we can see that there is a 1.5 pages of rationale and findings. Previously there was none of that in the draft report that we put for public comment. So that was the change after we shared with public that report. And also we made 3 recommendations rather than 1. So in the draft report that we put for the public comment, it was 4 and 4.1 only. And this is where we get the comments from public. But now in the current version that is available on this link, there is 4.1, 4.2, and 4.3. And those are almost entirely changed from what we put. So actually, I also see that the risk team has integrated the previous version of the recommendation 4 in their own current set of modified recommendations. This is what actually Lauren mentioned last week, and I have a look at that, but I saw that there they incorporated 4.1, but actually it would be better if we have a look at this latest modification to the recommendation, and then the risk team can consider whether they would like to still keep it under those risk group, or we keep it as a standalone. And we also need to see, since this is not my, under my list of work that were assigned to me. So I did not really have a look at the public comments that we get, but it is possible that the public comments that we get have already been resolved by...
Navid, are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can now, but you went silent for a second.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what part you missed actually. So
just now you were saying, so the risk team needs to take a look at 4-1, 4-2, and 4-3 when you faded.
Yeah. So actually, I was saying that since this was not under my list of tasks that I had to do for this public comment, so I did not have a look at the public comments that we received for recommendation 4. So it is possible that the public comments were already resolved with the modification that we did with 4.1 to 4.3. So, and the rationale that we put with that. So somebody has to look at those new or the modified version of the recommendation 4 and public comment, and the risk team has to see it, whether it still can be applied under the risk group that they integrated. So this is what I was actually trying to say.
Okay, good. When Lauren gets here, we'll to talk about the risk stuff, we'll make sure that happens. So I captured that in the spreadsheet so that we don't lose track of that. Thank you for doing that homework. The next thing for recommendation 25, during this week, we did get the implementation status on ESSEC 97. So that was previously blocking that sub-team. So I hope Casey, Denise, and Eric can now resume that work and or start that work and report back to the team in a week or so. And on recommendation 28, Naveed, you said you needed an extra week, and that ends today. So where are we on that one? Have you at least got the sub-team started?
Yeah, actually, I did some work on that. What I did, I put some responses to the public comments the other Excel sheet. If you can have a look at 28, recommendation 28 in the other Excel sheet that is, I think, open at your PC right now. I think, I don't know if it is Brenda's screen or your screen, but if you see the other where we have consolidated public comments, I put some response to those public comments. Can we have that open somehow? So, do you hear me?
Yeah, Brenda, can you open the public
the
comment
feedback
sheet.
The other one.
Okay, and where do I need to scroll to?
I put some.
And if you do it, go to the second sheet so that it's organized by section.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the other one, right? Yeah.
I don't know where sheet 2 came from. Does anyone mind if I delete that?
No, please delete it. It's confusing. And if you would scroll down to the ones that section has to do with recommendation 28. So the column B should say 28.
Yeah, it should be really down in 100 something or 200 line. Yeah, somewhere here. Okay, so here I put some comments in front of all the public comments that we received. Maybe there is another one on top. I don't know. We need to check. Can you go to 255, line 255 and line 254? Just to... Yeah, up. Yeah, okay. So
there
we just
go.
Need to see where is the...
Down the one row.
Sorry, my scroller is not working. Okay. I probably went...
There you go.
Right, okay.
If you get all of 256 on the screen, that would be
good. It is row number 256. So we had, I think, five, six comments. The first one was just that they agree with the recommendation. But the other one, most of them from SSAC, I tried to put a thorough response here. I did not touch anywhere else. So I did not try to modify the recommendation yet, but I put my thorough response here. So we can read here or have a look at that or see if it is the right way to go about it, and then I can further or continue working on that, right? So the first one, we can read the comment and the response, and we'll see if it is the we are on the right track, right? So let me read from my sheet. Right. So the comment was actually it's 344, right? If you can go one row down, so we everyone will be able to see the comment as well as the response. No, we lost that. It's very tricky. Yeah, here, right.
There we go. We can see the whole thing. Yeah. Thank you.
So the first comment says that it is unclear why the topic of name collision in Workstream 4 falls under the future challenges and not under the DNS SSR, right? And they also see that we have to see whether there is currently any overlap with NCAP study and how it is relating to that. So this is the one of their major comments. So what I observed is that in the start, because I started investigation from the start of the review team of how we approached that. So what I found is that there was no future challenges with the name of name collision from the start with the review team. It was added later, but I also see that there was no response in the question answers that were put to ICANN for investigation. There was no question asked related to name collision, but that does not mean that it is not a future work. So still we have some challenges related to the future of name collision, and that I tried to put here, right? So here I say is the challenges related to the name collisions and their analysis remain something that need to be investigated further with innovative and aggressive strategies. More specifically, there is a need to devise mechanism that allows detection of malicious name collisions that remain unreported as of now. So recently concluded NCAP study, and I had a look at this, that study, does not address these concerns. On the contrary, it concluded that there is no recent research work on name collisions, and it took that as an indicator that name collision is no longer an interesting work to be resolved and everything is going well, which is not the case actually, because we are just basing ourselves on the controlled interruption mechanism under that collision occurrence management framework that ICANN has, and that has a specific approach. So it might be possible that that approach is not working well and we are not able to identify that those name collisions. So that's why I just made the response that it is something that is still needs to be resolved. And that is why we are putting it under future challenges, right? So this was my response one. Anybody has any question regarding this one?
That thank you for digging through that. I know Casey was involved in reviewing these SSAC comments. So did she join?
Yeah, it's Casey here. Navid, I think I agree with everything you said. I think it's what I've heard from others. And of course, this report is in a weird, or this process is in a weird state, because SSAC was sort of pulled out of the loop, or sort of pulled themselves out of the loop. And this is all inside ICANN/Okto right now. But I don't think even Okto has issued their own report. They issued the consultant report, which I think you characterized reasonably well. At least that's my understanding. I didn't read the whole report, but I certainly read the conclusion. And it was, I found it a very odd conclusion. It was sort of a, well, there's all this research that's been done, although none of it in the last 3 years, and nobody's reported problems in the last 3 years, and these other studies would be hard to do. It's not clear how to do them, and so we should, you know, go on. And yet there was a recognition in that report for the need for additional studies, that the problem hasn't been solved. So there's a bit of cognitive dissonance I got from just reading that report.
And another thing that was confusing there is that they recommended, that study actually recommends not to continue study 2 and 3 of ANCAP.
That's right. So
that's enough strange of why to stop that mechanism. And there was no proper rationale put of what is the reasoning of coming to that conclusion. So that I didn't get it actually.
And I think it is important that we characterize that. Because again, ICANN has not issued its own opinion on that report. And my interpretation is that they're going to let that report essentially represent their opinion since they paid for consultants to do it. I don't know if they plan to do their own sort of criticism of that report the way they're expecting from the public comment. So I think we are basically considered the objective party in assessment of that report. So I would encourage other people who are even remotely interested in this to go at least read the conclusion of that report and make sure you agree with Navid's take on it. And then there's, of course,
Casey, don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but I note that Eric sent regrets for today. And he was clearly one of the people highly involved in the discussions when we were able to have face-to-face meetings. So I wonder if you could just ping him to get a discussion going on the list.
Yeah, I suspect he's going to agree with what Navid has said too.
I suspect he might feel a little stronger, but
fair enough. I mean, okay, so that brings me to my other question for Navid, which is, however the Scott put in future challenges. It's not obvious to me this is a future challenges versus now challenges. At least I know the how do you call the subpro next round of TLDs is underway and is issuing their report this summer, maybe, I'm not sure. And I don't know if this issue is addressed in that report. It may be that they use this report to say, when I say this report, I mean the consultant report on the name collision, to say, okay, well, we don't have to worry about this. We can move on because they don't even think we need studies 2 and 3. I don't think ESSEC would agree with that, but I don't know how.
Actually, Casey, one of the things that this report is kind of misleading is that they use the tool that the underreports or the decrease in reports, you know, is an indicator that it is no longer a challenge. But on the other hand, we also need to see that, for example, starting from the new GTLD first round, the number of TLD delegations are also decreasing quite dramatically in the past few years, right? So with the decrease in delegation, the name collision is also expected to be decreased. And I think we need to correlate the two together in order to better understand this this mechanism. So I don't think that it's a right conclusion that it is no longer an issue. So I'm not sure, right? So what I found, I just put it. That's why I did not touch the report as such. So I just put my responses here.
Now, I don't see your response on the spreadsheet that Jennifer, I see it in the Zoom window, but should is that some different URL? Because
are you in the organized by section, Casey?
Oh no, I'm not. Thank you. God, Heather can like read my mind. That's scary, Heather. all right, fine. So, okay, I think we need to figure out how to contextualize this in terms of future versus now versus make it, you know, how high a priority is with respect to new rounds of GTLDs. And the other thread I want to mention is that there's a ESSEC working group now on this issue they're calling, what are they calling? Private use TLDs. I won't go into detail on that. Russ can go talk to Rod and get more detail, because I think it's worth it because I think it's relevant. But what's public is the IETF side of this, which there was a draft, I think it started 3 years ago, also in the context of name collisions, for how to mitigate the risk of name collisions by essentially ICANN allocating or IETF allocating, or somehow the powers that be making it be that something is allocated for internal use. And they were nicknaming it .internal, but that is very unlikely to be what it's called. But it's the equivalent of, if it happens, I'm not saying it's going to happen, the equivalent of RFC 1918 space for the naming space, because it is clear that for many of the sources of name collisions or potential name collisions, there is a need for some internal domain, TLD, or domain name at least. Now, there's lots of debate on the IETF public mailing list about whether this is a good idea or a terrible idea, or what kind of middle road could be taken that would cause less less damage than it might mitigate. But it's another big chunk of thinking that's happening and debate that's happening that is related to name collisions that may require ICANN to step in, or at least to have some serious research done on the cost and benefit of various future trajectories. Again, IETF is, well, the first time this was taken to the IETF, and I think it was 3 years ago by Warren Kumari, it was basically thrown out. They said, Warren, this is not IETF space. This is policy about whether to do this allocation of a new top level domain. Whether or not you agree with that position, I'm not sure that I do. I don't know whose problem this is. That's what happened. And so then Warren has now helped get this work party started inside ESSAC, because I'm not sure ICANN thinks it's ICANN's job either. And I think ICANN would look toward the community of which we are a part here. So I think this is just actually a bigger issue than this name collision report that even they did this, got this consultant to work on. And I don't know how to capture all that. I will certainly add some sentences to whatever text ends up in the report and references to the IETF documents. And hopefully this ESSAC document will be out in the next few months, but.
So I worry that it's not going to come out in time to affect what we're doing, but this all started as a result of .home.
Yep.
Okay. So that was the first tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
And because that happened.
Yeah, but they actually, this is under the study 3 that was proposed. This is study 1, I think. And they, as I said in the conclusion, they explicitly said that there is no need to investigate .home and .others. There are two others, I think.
Because they've been put in a place where they can't be allocated. At least for now. That's why they didn't see any reason to investigate. But .site and .corp are in the same place.
I mean, what? I think you could talk to the TLD operators like VeriSign. I mean, the gTLD operator, not root server, gTLD name server operators, to get some data or insight into the growth of the proliferation, really, of use of non-allocated TLDs. So that problem is not going away, which makes the name collision problem sort of more relevant, not less.
Yeah, and whether they leak, right? Because the idea is that those only be used in a VPN context, and then somebody's VPN falls down and suddenly they're making queries against the public DNS.
Right, and there's big security risks there. And so one of the SSR responses could be write a draft that says, please don't use these. Please go get your own real public domain name. Like you might advise people not to use RFC 1918 addresses because you don't want those leaking. Go get your own addresses. Not that there are any left, or go use that.
As long as you want V6.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, so again, this report needs to be finished. So the problem doesn't seem to keep getting bigger and we have to write more report about it. But I just want to put that on the table that that's.
But I do think that the first order question that you raised is, does this belong in the future challenges, or does it belong in the DNS challenges? And I think you've made a pretty persuasive argument that this is now, not the future.
This is now.
If I can just follow up on that.
Sure.
I investigated this matter since the very start when the review team started working on it. So I look at all the documents that were relevant. And I found that the text to this recommendation, which is a very small text, and it needs a specifically it needs some kind of rationale. So it needs to have more text before to justify why we are putting it there. So when we start doing it, we would or we might conclude that this is not the proper place to put it, and we might change it there. Because I see that the text related to this recommendation remained same throughout the lifetime of the review team. So nobody, since its inception, nobody tried to touch this text. There was no updation related to that, which is kind of very surprising. So it is something that remains there and constant throughout. And once we start putting some kind of rationale over it, which it is missing, it's kind of two lines rationale or findings that we put on top of this recommendation, which is certainly not enough. So once we change that, maybe we conclude what is the right place of that.
Okay, fair enough. Who's writing that text? Is that clear yet?
I believe that Naveed is leading the team that is writing that text.
Okay. And then, Naveed, from reading the public comments on this study, do you know when Okto will deliver its, I mean, is the idea that ICANN Okto will take all the public comments and then write its own report and issue that? Is that your understanding?
No, I have no idea, because I think I mentioned previously that I even did not know anything about NCAP, you know, so I had to investigate all this document to find out what it has and all that. So I have limited information about the perspective of that in future, but I don't think that it is going to be concluded in next 2-3 months, actually, which also leads to the thing that these public comments that were put by ESSEC to our report, most of them are based on this NCAP report, which is currently stands as a draft report. So I'm not sure if we can do something about a report that is not even finalized and try to refer to that report that it is doing something or not, because we don't know what the end product would be. So,
geez. I wonder if we could get ICANN to give us a timeline of that. It seems like it shouldn't take another 5 months to get a final report and Okto's thoughts on it out.
Steve, do you happen to know?
Yeah.
I don't. I can go and bring it back to the team that was working on it. I don't even have enough information to give a pretend answer, so I'm just going to sit here and flail.
Well, we don't want a pretend answer. But if you could just give send an email that lets us know what their projection for something is. It's so, just so we know whether we need to take that into account, or we could just say, well, we're going to have to publish before that comes out.
And so then, yes, but to Naveed's point, do we want to say something bold in the recommendation as ICANN should absolutely be collecting this data or in a position to collect this data before new gTLDs are launched or something that stark, rather than ICANN should go study this or, you know, go do studies 2 or 3, even though the consultant not to.
SSR1 said start collecting this data before you do any more.
Yes, detail. I'm aware of that.
So I kind of think we'd be on pretty solid ground, right?
Yep.
So this is Steve. Just to see if I can synthesize the conversation that took place, are you asking Okto to give a timeline of any response to the public comments or a report of the public comments, or are you looking for Okto's or ICANN orgs, their position on the document? I'm sorry, it's not clear to me.
Okay, a consultant was paid to do this report, right? And that was published, but we haven't heard what ICANN plans to do next. That's what we're.
Yeah, and that's not even the final report. So we'd like to know when the NCAP work is completed, meaning ICANN has declared it is completed and is telling us what it's going to do based on that.
But by the time we do it, because we have to finalize, we might need to finalize this report earlier than that. So in that case, we need to base ourselves on something that that is not finalized and refer to that, or we just do what the way we are doing, right?
Correct.
I think we have to proceed with what we have, but if something's going to drop in 2 weeks, I'd sure like to know that.
Right. Or even 2 months, and then we write something and it's out of date before it goes to press. You know, we need to prepare. We need to, so we can know not to spend time on this, to spend time on other things until we get Octo's position on this, I think.
David, do you know what needs done?
Yeah, so far I see that whatever I wrote is sufficient to provide an answer to that. But since this NCAP would be very important, because the three or four comments relate to this, NCAP study, and they are saying that we need to answer whether what we are doing is a parallel to NCAP or not. It is not, actually, as of now, as of the current report. That's my answer to that. But we don't know what the actual report would be. So we are just, that's what I'm saying. So as of now, we are just going to say that it is not something in parallel to anything, but it is just, complementing the NCAP study, kind of that, as a response to that. So what we are proposing can be just used as a complement to what is there in the NCAP.
I'm not sure anybody disagree. But I do see a hand from Carrie Ann.
Hi, Russ. I just had one general thing, because I think the discussion and the points that Casey raised and even Naveed's response, I think it's something that we could take forward for some of the other issues on the future challenges. I think the community generally had an issue with how we titled that section. And I wanted to raise here, because the name collision thing is so, I believe I support Naveed's position that it's something that, yes, other reports might be mentioning it, and they have more detailed studies, et cetera. And the approach that we've taken, that we're gonna keep it in our report, keep our radar out. But I was just wondering if the title Future Challenges is also would be problematic when it's finally published. I don't know if we could probably be more creative with that section, where it could be like other risk considerations that we couldn't delve into deeply, because it's not all of our remit. It involves several other community groups in topics that we've identified on the future challenges. Because I got the sense when I read the future challenges comments that it seemed as if persons don't think they're future challenges. Like some persons think it's no, some persons think that it's issues that have to be dealt with groups that are already looking at it. So I just wanted to just raise just a more general thing for the plenary, given that the name collision discussion, I liked how it went in terms of where we've concluded and rested that how we're going to address it. But I just think that maybe we should just consider not just moving it out of name a future challenge, but actually changing and getting rid of the title future challenges and calling it other risk considerations, and then put a preamble that these are other issues that we saw was necessary, we weren't able to delve into because it's a wider community discussion, and then kind of have this and other topics that we have now. I just wanted to raise that on the floor. If any of that makes sense.
I understood it. I'm just trying to figure out how to turn it into action. And I don't think there's anything we can do with it at this phase until we see what the output of the subteams are, and we know how to then write the preamble text to each of the chunks of the report. Does that make sense?
It does.
Go ahead. I'm not sure who was trying to speak. Okay. Casey, I don't think you were on the call yet when I observed that we got a status in from SAC 97. So if you could kick that sub team off now that we have it.
Okay. Let me find this. Got it.
Jennifer sent it out during the week.
Yep.
It's about 3 pages worth of stuff that they sent.
I'll go look. I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad I went back. So if you could, in the next week, figure out, you know, which way's north, that would be good. Okay, Lauren, I think the risk team is next.
Russ, there are a few more points that I just need to put related to this. So actually, there are more than that, but we discussed that. But one of the things which is unclear is that we, in the recommendation itself, because I was not the one who wrote the recommendations, in the recommendation 28.2, I think it was explicitly mentioned that ICANN should need to initiate a process or facilitate a process of an independent study of name collisions, right? This is the point. Then it has to make this study vetted by an independent panel who has no financial interest. So this is a two-way, you know, or a two-step process that we are recommending. And this, I think that it's too much. I don't know what is the rationale or reasoning of putting it that way, because one independent kind of thing might be okay for me, but it clearly says, and this is what the one of the comment of from SAC again, that they did not understand why this vetting is needed when you are doing an independent study already. So I'm not sure if somebody on the call can explain that so that we go to the right direction. And I put that in on line 262, actually, the row 62 of the same document. If you see my response there, I put it my response to that.
Brenda, can you scroll that down?
Yeah, here it is. So you can see that. So here I'm saying here, RT is referring to a two-step process. One is initiating an independent study, and second is vetting both NCAP work and this independent study from third parties who have no financial interest in TLD expansion. So this is I think it's kind of too much, and it won't be implementable, I think.
Sorry, which part won't be implementable?
Like having it as a two-step process, both steps from independent kind of panels, you know? So it says that we need to have an independent study of name collisions. This is first step. And then that independent study should be vetted from an independent or third parties who have no interest in the TLD expansions.
So the current one was independent, right? The current study that they did, the consultant that was hired.
No, we're not referring to that. We are even referring, if you can read the report section, the same row, but under the report section column is our comment that we put there. If you read
looking at it. I'm just wondering why you think it's not feasible, because they just did it for the first part. So the part that's missing is that the part that's missing is number two, you're saying, how to find third parties who can vet it?
No. I'm saying that this recommendation is saying that NCAP is a parallel process to the independent study that we are proposing.
That is the case today, though, right?
You mean that there are two independent studies?
No. Okay. I see what you mean. The question is this word NCAP work. And I think in today's model, there is no NCAP work per se. NCAP's role is to sort of oversee, which is too strong a word, I think, to basically vet the study. And I guess this recommendation was put in because people wanted to make sure that NCAP itself, who's responsible for vetting the study, wasn't having financial interest in TLD expansion and would say just say, oh, the study says we don't need any more studies. So that's good. Let's go move on. That was my read of this when I read it. Maybe I'm wrong. Whoever wrote it has to clarify their intention. I guess it was Eric.
Well, that's what Naveed is asking. And Eric's not on the call.
At the least, it is confusing to me. You know, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, and to SAC also, apparently. So we don't, my interpretation was that we didn't mean a new study independent of NCAP. We meant to make sure that whatever vets the study that NCAP, you know, if NCAP is to be the body that vets that study and approves it and says, yes, this is a legitimate study and ICANN should go.
I see what you're saying, but if you just read the end of this recommendation, it says that ICANN.org should ensure that the SAC name collision analysis project, which is NCAP, work party research and report evaluation teams results.
Yeah, I agree. That's confusing.
Different things, you know.
I agree.
And both need to be vetted, it is saying. So this is kind of which is...
Well, I know that the thing I can add that went into this, at least my understanding is went into the writing of this recommendation, is that NCAP itself, which is an SAC work party, made the decision to not require any management of conflict of interest in NCAP. So the NCAP can be composed entirely of people that have a financial interest in TLD expansion. And my understanding was that this recommendation was trying to address that problem.
Okay, so maybe I contact Eric, but I'm not sure if he wrote that. So just to be, you know.
Yeah, you can email to both of us and we can have a conversation. I don't know who else to consult besides Eric.
Let's keep it to the list then. Yeah.
Yep, that's fine too.
Okay.
Is that the last thing on this?
I put a response to all of this, but I leave it to the team to read it before the next week call. And by that time, we'll see and discuss the update on this.
Yeah, I mean, the smart thing, the next one is about the smart thing. And we say enable community reporting. And SAC said, why would that, what good is that going to do? And
so there are two parts to that. One is that they are objecting why we need a reporting tool, so or a reporting mechanism. That I answered already. But the second half of that comment is about the smartness of that recommendation, which I said that I agree, and we need to make sure that it is smart.
Yep. Okay. I agree with the comment at least. I think that the counter from ICANN will be there is no way to, or from SAC from that matter, will be there is no way to measure the effectiveness of the controlled interruption framework beyond what the consultant did. I'm speculating here, but that's my, and we can reach out. I mean,
maybe a way to, you know, to assess the reporting mechanism itself, not to its outcome, but at least a way to, you know, to keep track of the reports and, you know. And
I should note that SAC would be happy to, the SAC members of NCAP or anybody else on SAC would be happy to have a conversation with SSR2 about specifically this comment and what SAC thinks could be constructive in a recommendation. Naveed, if you wanted to have such a conversation, or Eric or anybody.
Okay, yeah.
Keep it in mind. Okay, I think we're done with that one.
Last time I thought that, Naveed said, wait, I have one more point.
Okay, let's let Naveed declare that we're done.
Okay, so Naveed, could you send a note to Eric to make sure that he's happy with the way forward, since I'm know he had a lot to do with this text. Just
I will do that, but with the assumption that we are saying that he actually wrote this, so he might say that I don't know. So that's
I know he had it was involved in the discussion, even if he didn't take.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you. All right. Over to Lauren. We only have 10 minutes on the call, so at this point, I think, Lauren, the best we could get is the broad brushstroke agreement. The direction you took is acceptable.
Okay, hello, everyone. 10 minutes is optimistic even for that, I fear, but let's try. So essentially, yesterday, I sent to everyone the marked up version of the revamp risk section. Everything in there is fresh and new and already in the new structure. Not much has changed since I talked about it last time or the time before. The sub team is happy to go ahead. We had no requests internally to make change. Point everyone to the budget recommendation, which is number 4. And in the document I sent, it's right under the CISO recommendation, and the response is at the bottom of the document regime, I believe. I hope, if this is the risk one, at least.
Yeah, Eric.
So, yes, this is risk comment.
Lauren, we had a discussion on this before you joined, actually. So I just wanted to point out that this recommendation 4 has been changed since this report was put on public comment. So if you can just have a look at the latest version of recommendation 4 and see if you can incorporate still that one here or not, then we'll decide whether we need a separate standalone or it can be merged here, for example.
It might be mergeable. So this is the only text I changed. I was not aware there was any change to it. So I took what was in the latest document and copied that over into the risk section. So I'm not sure if this is the version you're talking about, or if there is yet another one.
This is the version that we put for the public comment. But after that, in March, actually in the start of the March, we actually changed this recommendation.
Okay.
So I shared that link as well in the start of the call. I can share again. So if you go to this, this is the link. If you go to this link, this one, you see here. So it now becomes recommendation 20, 21, 22. And there was some rationale before that we added. And it became 4.1, 4.2, 4.3. Earlier, it was just 4.1.
Okay. So yes, that means this is a change that I need to look at, because I wrote the rationale above the recommendation now. So we have two rationales and two recommendations. So this is an action for me for next week. So let's jump over that one. I will copy the link and save it somewhere so I can look at it. Okay, so with that out of the way and unresolved, the rest I said then completely applies to everything minus that recommendation and its rationale, that essentially this has been presented twice. A subgroup is happy. Only change outstanding is this kind of merging the two edits, and I'll do that by next week. I think it's too late to do a full run through and consensus call on it though, because we have 5 minutes left. I'm not sure if this makes sense, because it's quite a lot of recommendations. I can only say everything you need is in the two documents, and the sub team is ready to be done with this.
Yeah. Oh, that just made me chuckle. I'm sorry. What do you expect Heather to do with dollar CIO, CISO dollar?
So this is something I wanted to bring to the full team's attention. That's why it has these lovely variable marks. But I think we should do that next week, simply because I have to look at that specific recommendation rationale again to include the changes that were made that I wasn't aware of. So maybe it won't be a problem by next week.
Okay.
I have a question in general, when related to when Heather sent out documents for us to read. She sent out like a markup one and then a clean one. But I would like one that just has the text in color. Like, is this green color that Lauren is using for the text mean that's what's changed?
Yeah, what yes. happened for this review team and several, or sub-team and some of the others, is Heather made a clean, all comments accepted, gave it to the sub-team to put their edits in as suggestions. That way, when it comes to the full team for review, you can tell what's what. And so if, like, for the work you're about to do, you know, for 25, if you want a clean document like that, Heather can make you one.
Right. Clarification point. This is Heather. I've made a clean copy, but based on the conversations we had had during the face-to-face meetings and the phone calls, so many of those comments were still we don't know, it's going to depend on public comment. They hadn't received consensus or discussion, so they're not necessarily included. That's why I kept telling people that they need to go back and make sure they've reviewed the review team's comments as well as the public comments. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yes, which is exactly how we got the problem that Naveed just highlighted.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is Lauren. For risk, we did that, and they are in the same spreadsheet as the public comment ones. And I think the only three that were not just error corrections were all from Casey. And we did discuss them, and they are marked down. So Casey, if you scroll down at the bottom, you will see the comments you made after public comment. And we hope we address those as well.
Okay. I'm just wondering when people have new text, I would like a convention of how to read it, like how to know. Like in this, can someone paste the URL that we're looking at on the screen? Is it the one that Naveed just pasted? No.
No, it's the one that Lauren sent in email yesterday.
Okay. And then when he says review it, it's just the green text we should review?
Correct.
Okay. That is very helpful. And
yes.
And that
so,
one, go ahead.
Sorry, there might be different colors because different people drafted it. It's essentially, but you can see it says like risk section, and that's the heading where our changes start. And you can also obviously see where there's all the colored text. So that is where to go.
And Lauren, I think what would be useful, Casey, is that the table that has the list of recommendations that this sub-team worked on, just follow all the numbers there because it pretty much still has the number and for the most part. And I think, as Lauren said, it will be different colors for different people depending on what your Google has. So it won't just be green. It, like on my screen, it shows orange and blue sometimes, not green. So it all depends on, so you can't use just the green as the marker. But I think the table would help you to kind of see the title of the recommendations, if not the number, and if it's different.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different colors. And okay, so does it start on page? Where does it start?
Anywhere it's not black, it's text they edited.
But there's also crossed out stuff back on page 25. So it's not SSR. It's not assessment of SSR 1. So it has to be starting on page, what's currently page 27, key stability issues. Is that all?
If we can scroll up.
Yeah, scroll up and tell me what page, and it would be good to have this in the text, like, hello, start reviewing here, SSRT. Mm-hmm. Is that the page right there?
Key stability, yes.
So start there, correct. And go to the end of the different colored, not necessarily.
Yes, go to the end of this section. The next section is probably abuse. I'm not sure what I did.
So business, it includes business continuity?
Yes,
yeah. Yes.
Okay, and then work stream 3 on page 40, it stopped there? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Got my assignment. Thank you.
Casey, I just want to make sure something as well. Last night I added a text for the CDO. I sent 2 links and did it in both links because I get confused with the links. So Heather, I don't know if I did the right thing. I pasted it in 2 documents, the exact text. So whichever one it will be, it's in both, whichever version is floating around. But I sent an email to the group last night with both links. But the exact amendments to the section related to the CDO, I've put it at the end of the rationale for the CISO as another consideration, like a note. So let me know.
And you want the edits in this document, right? In this URL that you...
Yeah, it's supposed to be wherever the risk document is that's tracking all of our amendments. It's supposed to be whichever one the team is working through, it's supposed to be there. But I had used the link that Lauren sent, and then I saw that Jennifer had a link too. That I opened both and then got... So I did edits to both versions just in case.
I see a bunch of comments in this document that are from a month ago. So that's not consistent with Heather saying she accepted them all.
No, it means this team's been working for more than a month.
Okay, sorry. Right. I mean, sorry on the number of levels. Okay.
Okay, we are out of time. So we'll pick up next week with the risk team, and then we'll do Carrie Ann's comments, and then hopefully the abuse team will be done. All right. Have a good week. And stay safe.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.